Take your Bible tonight. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. While you're turning there, let me say this. There's one other prayer request that I want to ask you to pray about. I want you to pray for Leela Mahaney. She is going to the doctor today in Japan, in South Korea, because today in South Korea is Monday, all right? And there is a possibility she has something that could be very serious. They don't think it is, but they're getting the final call on that from the doctor that they'll go see there today, or as we'd say it, tomorrow, okay? So would you pray for Ms. Mahaney? That would be something totally very not serious, very calm and easy to take care of, and I know she would appreciate it if you'd do that. And so if you'd pray for her, I would greatly appreciate it. Romans chapter 14, I want to preach to you tonight about getting along with the family. Getting along with the family. You ever have trouble getting along with your family? Somebody said, did I ever have a time when I didn't have trouble getting along with the family, you know? I don't know what kind of family you grew up in. I don't know, you know, if it was large. My dad, he came from a large family. There was seven kids, I think, if I've got that right, my memory's right. And there were times when we got together as a family. Now, it became a joke with the grandkids, all right? On my dad's side, it became a joke. We'd get together as a family. We knew there would be a falling out amongst the sisters, all right? There was always a falling out among the sisters. And one of them would go shooting out of the house with her lip pooched out. And when the door slammed, the cousins, we'd look at each other and go, big deal, been there before. Here we go again, you know. They just had some trouble getting along sometimes. And that can be true. Well, tonight, I want to preach to you, not necessarily about your kinfolks in the flesh, but the family of God, all right? The family of God in the local church. Now, I'll say this. What I say about that will help you in your physical family, too, if you'll pay attention with me, all right? These things can be a help. Begin reading there in verse 13. The Bible said, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is sin. Now, let me say, look, there's always been disputes and disagreements among God's people. There's always been that. And there probably always will be until the Lord returns, until we're caught up to be with him and we are changed. But as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to have problems, we're going to have disagreements, we're going to have disputes that we have to deal with. Now, in Paul's day, one of the big problems had to do with diet and special holy days. Really and truly, almost all of this chapter dealt with this kind of thing in some way or other. All right? Now, you have to remember, Paul was dealing with people that had come out of the Mosaic law under that, and he's He's got people that are Jews that have come out from under that Mosaic law when they got saved, but he's also got folks in the church that were Gentiles, never had paid any attention to that whatsoever, all right? And so under the Mosaic law, there were a lot of rules and regulations dealing with individual things, dealing with a diet, dealing with special holy days. Hey, the dietary law itself covered a lot of things we don't even think about today. Most of the people today, when you look at, you talk about the Old Testament diet restrictions, the one thing that usually comes up big time to people that, oh, you couldn't eat pork. Man, it went way past that, okay? That was just one, you couldn't in that day have ham and eggs. Worse yet, as far as I'm concerned, you couldn't have sausage and eggs, all right? No sausage gravy. Boy, what a problem that would have been. But it covered a whole lot more than that. Then there were numerous feast days that had to be observed, that they were expected to take part in. Now, in the early days of Christianity, there were many of these Jewish people who got saved. They had trusted Christ, all right? But they didn't realize that the cross had canceled those dietary restrictions and those holy feast days that they had been commanded to observe under the law, all right? They didn't understand that. They didn't understand that God had spoken to Peter when he had that vision of that sheet let down from heaven and all those animals in it, and God told Peter, rise, kill, and eat. Let me say that for the benefit of all the vegetarians in the world. That sheet did not have asparagus beans and, broccoli and cauliflower. And that wasn't rise, trim, and eat, okay, or rise, steam, and eat. It was rise, kill, and eat, all right? And so it was there, and God said it's good to do. You can do it. But in that church at Rome, there were those Jewish believers. But there were also mature Christians. There were also some young, new Christians. There were Gentiles saved out of a life of sin but never knew anything about the Mosaic law. Now, we don't have that situation today. There's not anybody here saved out of Seventh-day Adventism that I know of, all right? Seventh-day Adventists, they want to keep the law. They want to observe that law. I don't want to. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace, and I'm glad we're not under that law. But in every church, there's still strong Christians, there's weak Christians, and there's in between those two extremes. Those that are very strong, those that are very weak, there's a lot in between. Now, it's important and it's necessary for us to know how to get along with one another in the family of God. Now, I want to give you out of this chapter, and I hope I can do a good job with this, but I want to give you four principles here that I want you to see that I believe will help us to get along with people, all right? The first one's in verse 13. Verse 13, he says, that judge this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Be careful. Don't cause a fall, all right? That principle, just don't cause a fall. Look, the Bible tells us we bear some responsibility to other folks in the family of God. I preached to you last week that we don't live by self, we don't live for self, and we don't live to self, all right? And I hope you figured that out and that was clear to you. Hey, we're in this world. Well, we must realize that what we do has consequences. And even as Christians, even as God's people, we need to be careful in the church especially, and outside the church too, but we need to realize what we do has consequences. The things that other Christians see us do has a consequence to it. And we just need to be especially careful that our life, our conversation, our conduct not cause another child of God to stumble in their walk, all right? That we don't do anything that would cause another born-again believer, maybe who's weaker in the faith than we are, to stumble, all right? To stumble. We get careless sometimes. We don't think about some of the things we do. We need to be careful that we don't draw a person into sin or draw a person into a snare for them, okay? We need to be careful about that kind of thing. There's some things that do not bother you at all. You don't even think about those things. There's a song in the hymn books, in our hymn book, that my brother often sings as a special. But I know another fella that's familiar with that song that he said, I just can't sing it because that tune brings to mind something else in the past and I can't do it. Well, it would be wrong. Now you say, is that other fellow here? No. No. But I'm saying to you this, I believe it'd be wrong if my brother got up here and sang that song, knowing it would cause offense to that one. But there's nothing wrong with that song. And there's not. But it might cause that brother to be offended and might cause him to stumble. Might cause him to stumble in their walk. Listen, have you noticed? Watch little kids learn to walk. Have you ever noticed how easy it is for them to trip and fall? Now, fortunately, they're made close to the ground. So when they fall, it is not so bad, and their bones are not as brittle as mine might be, and they can hit the floor and just hop. Well, they can't hop back up. They stagger back up. You know how little kids are, learning to walk. But it's so easy to lose their balance. So easy for them to lose their balance. I want to say this to you. On a spiritual plane, it is that way with young Christians. They've not been taught. They haven't had the opportunity yet. They're just learning. And it's up to us to be careful that what we do, what we say, would not cause them to stumble in their walk. That we be careful about what we do. Now, there might be some things that it would be all right. There's not anything wrong with them, but it could cause offense. We need to look out for that kind of thing. You say, well, how do we know if it happens? Well, how do we know it before it happens? You may not. But if you realize it has happened, you ought to immediately go to that brother and spend some time with him. And it ought to be, listen, I wouldn't want that to cause you to fall. I wouldn't want that to cause you to offend. I know that it offends you. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. Well, but preacher, there's nothing wrong with it. It's all right. You don't do it in front of them. I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody else. I don't want anything that I do to be a stumbling block to other people. Nothing. I mean, period. You name it. I'm leery. Now, some of you may do this. If you do, okay. I'm just telling you about me, all right? I'm leery of drinking sparkling grape juice, all right? You say, preacher, what's wrong with it? Is it alcoholic? No. No. You say, why are you leery of it? The way it's packaged.
There you go.
The way it's packaged. I remember somebody gave us a bottle of it. And when I first saw it, I thought, what in the world? What are they trying to do, you know? Well, then I examined it closer and realized what it was. Well, preacher, is there anything wrong with drinking sparkling grape juice? No. But I wouldn't want anybody to see me pouring out of that bottle from a distance and think the wrong thing. Just, I'd rather not. So, but there's nothing wrong with it. I know, but I can live without sparkling grape juice. You with me? I'll never forget my grandmother, my dad's mom, was here, and we went to the grocery store together. Now, some of y'all ain't going to believe this, all right? But it happened. We went to the grocery store together. And she's walking along there in the grocery store with me. We go down the aisle with soft drinks. And I picked out a bottle of Mountain Dew and put it in my buggy. And my grandmother looked at me and looked at that. She looked back at me. And I saw her looking. I knew what she was thinking. This is in the early days of Mountain Dew. You know, when they still advertise with Yahoo, Mountain Dew, it'll tickle your innards, all right? You're old enough to remember those commercials, some of you. All right, well, it was new. I won't tell you, Mountain Dew to my grandma meant something entirely different, okay? Entirely different. And so I had to educate her on it, all right? I said, this Mountain Dew, Grandma, is legal, all right? We can partake of it. But I'll never forget that. Hey, but because of those kind of things, we need to be careful, all right? We need to be careful. There's what you do. There's some of those things you're involved in. Do they have the appearance of evil to some weaker brother? Well, just be careful about it, all right? Be careful about it. You say, well, you know, what you talk? Well, wait a minute. You ever been in the house, you've seen kids, you got several kids in there, and you see one being kind of secretive, and the other one sees one being secretive, and it's always, what are you doing? Because they always figure something wrong. One kid always figure the other one's trying to hide something from them. I mean, that's what it is. Hey, we need to be careful about it. Hey, I don't want my liberty to be used to call another person to mess up. I just don't want that to happen. Just because something may be right doesn't mean you have to do it if it will cause the destruction of somebody else. Hey, that weak brother can have a fragile spirit, easily broken. Easily broken. Hey, can I say this to you? Now, hang on. Sometimes all it takes is a bad attitude. Sometimes all it takes is a bad attitude. You say, preacher, are you telling me I can't have a bad attitude? Yeah, I'm telling you ought not to have bad attitude, all right? Work on it. Do like you do when you come to church and you're fighting with your husband or you're fighting with your wife on the way to church. But when you get out of the car and you walk up the door, it's, hello, preacher, how you doing? Boy, it's a wonderful day, isn't it? You hide it then. Well, hey, same kind of principle, all right? You don't have to do it. Don't have that bad attitude. First principle, don't cause a fall. The second principle I want you to see is verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now, the first principle, don't cause a fall. The second one, don't carry right too far. Don't carry right too far. You see, you can carry right to excess, and it'll cause problems. He says, what do you mean? Well, for instance, exercising partiality in judgment. Being partial in the way you judge people. Look, we're human beings. We're human beings. We have a tendency to forgive and to overlook something in somebody we like. Okay? We like that person. They mean a lot to us, so we'll overlook what they do. But it's somebody else that we do not like as much, we won't overlook it. We won't overlook that. And I just want to say this to you, that's wrong. That is dead wrong. Even in this congregation that's right here, there's different personalities. Different personalities. Sometimes our different personalities rub each other and friction produces heat. All right? And you might need to just throw a little water on that. Now, don't throw it on the other person. Throw it on you, okay? Throw it on you, not on that other person. Don't exercise partiality in judgment. Hey, don't expect more from others than you do from yourself. Don't do that, all right? Don't just condemn and find fault. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I can be critical. I can quit agreeing with that, all right? That wasn't the time to agree, all right? All right, that wasn't. Hey, I can be critical. And I know it. I have found myself in situations being very critical of other Christians. All right? And you said, "Preacher, which one of us?" No. It was in other settings, other situations. And I found myself, and I thought to myself, "Hey, man, the only thing you're doing is looking for something you don't like. You're just looking for something you don't like. And in the looking for that, you're overlooking some things that are okay." Now, wait a minute. And I'm going to say this again in the message, okay? I'm not talking about compromise. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about sometimes I can be critical, but I know I'm not the only person that has problems with that. We can find fault. Hey, yes, we can. But instead of spending our life doing that, why don't we spend our life seeking to help somebody? Seeking to help somebody. Some younger Christian, some Christian that hasn't reached the level, and I'm not being facetious or sarcastic, but some Christian that has not reached the level of maturity that you have, do your best not to spend so much time criticizing them, but more time trying to help them get to where you are, all right? More time doing that. Don't do that. Don't exercise partiality and judgment. Second thing you need to do in that situation is exhibit patience. Man, I hate to preach this because I have trouble with this, all right? Now, exhibit patience. We have to give others, people, time to grow. Preacher, they've had 16 years, and they may have. But some people need 17. Some people need 17. Do you notice in here, verse 13, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore." Okay? "If thy brother be grieved with thy meat," in verse 15. Okay? All these things are going on. We're constantly, and the Bible's telling us, don't be looking for something you can disagree over. Be patient with people. Have some patience with them. You didn't get to your high plane of spirituality overnight. Did not happen. You did not get saved one night, and the next week, man, you're almost the Apostle Paul. It didn't happen like that, all right? And the truth of the matter is, every one of us, our theme song ought to be, "He's still working on me." Because he is. So, I mean, we're to exhibit patience. There is a process in growth. A process in growth. One of the most difficult things for me when I was a young dad and we had children was, man, I can remember the great milestones in their growth and development. You say, what was it? When they got off the bottle. We didn't have to wash bottles anymore. We didn't have to prepare formula anymore. Here, have a drink of water, bud, all right? Have some Coke, you know? And we tried to stay away from that. All right, here, drink this. And what money sings? Okay, go in there, scoop it out. How many scoops? All right, mix it up. Heat it to just the right temperature and drink it, you know. No. Man, we don't have to do that anymore. What a blessing that was. And the next great milestone was potty trained. Hallelujah, all right? How wonderful that was. Another great milestone when they could tell you what was wrong. Man, I hated it when they were little bitty kids. They would be crying in the middle of the night and you're walking the floor. What's wrong with them? You're just taking a guess, you know. And you don't have any idea. They quit crying. You lay them down. They start crying. You know, you don't know. Is there really a problem? Do they have gas? Are they having an appendicitis attack? I mean, what's going on, right? I was so glad when they got to the point they could say, "My tummy hurts." You know, or "My ear hurts." You didn't just have to watch them close. Are they sticking their finger? I bet it's their ear. They're having an earache. You know, you remember those days? Hey, some of you said, "Remember them." We're still experiencing them. Yeah, I understand. Hey, what'd you have to do? Be patient. They didn't get it all right? You had to teach them. There's a process of growth. Hey, my friend, look, give other people the opportunity to grow instead of demanding too much of them too soon. Give them the opportunity to grow. Hey, two don'ts, all right? two don'ts, if you will. Don't, all right? That first one was don't cause a fall. The second one, don't carry right too far. Now, two do's. I want a balanced message, all right? The negative and the positive. The first do, look at, if you will, down in verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Hey, do carefully follow. There's some things we need to follow after. Instead of cultivating confusion, controversy, and contempt, why not work for peace? Why not work for peace? Let's negotiate this thing, all right? Let's calm down. Man, the first 15 years of our Christian school, I think I spent them as a mediator. Bringing them in as a group. Might start with two, and then this one say, well, so-and-so said, go get them. So they'd go fetch them. Before it was all over, I'd have 12 in my office. And I'm sorry, ladies, but it was usually girls, all right? It was usually girls. And I'd bring them in there, and we'd, you know, I was looking for some point that we could have peace amongst them. And there were times that I got in the flesh a little bit, but I thought it was a spiritual answer. And I'd take my Bible and toss it down and say, would you find in the Bible where it says it's okay for you to act like that? Amen. And I said it in a calm voice just like that. Amen. Hey, are you with me? We're to follow after peace, okay? I mean, we're to seek to cultivate peace. Not contempt, not controversy, not confusion. Hey, look for things that you can find that's agreement. Now, once again, I'm not talking about compromise. I'm not talking about compromising truth and doctrine, the Word of God. No, but I'm saying find something, some points that you can agree upon, all right? Find something you can agree upon. Start from that point and say, here we are, all right? Hey, remember, we're talking about young Christians. They don't know a lot. They do it. I think some people in Christianity seek to find some obscure passage of Scripture and then build a monument on it. And it drives me nuts. And I think, why? You got too much time. You're sitting at home. You would even think of that question, all right? Because what difference does it make? I love the guy, and I'm not going to tell you who, but Brother Dunbar knows, and he better not tell you who either, all right? But he's telling me about this question this individual asked. And he was talking about what the lion ate on the ark. Can I just be real honest with you? I don't ever remember sitting down thinking about that a whole lot. I don't remember sitting there pondering the great truth that could be found in figuring out what the lions ate on the ark. I don't know what they ate, okay? I don't have any idea. And you don't either. Amen. And you can't figure it out. Now, you're entitled to your opinion. Just like I'm entitled to mine. Could I just tell you, I don't have an opinion. I got other things to think about. I got bigger fish to fry, all right? But there's some people that they look for some obscure thing and then try to build that monument on that, all right? Well, the Bible says, let's follow after peace. Let's not seek to find something we can disagree on. What do you think the paint on the toenail of that image in Daniel stood for? I don't care. All right? I'm not going to come to blows over that. I'm not going to have a falling out over that kind of thing. Hey, listen, there's some folks that, there's one guy, that I don't even know if he's still alive, but he used to put out a paper and it was all about prophecy, and I would get it because actually my mother-in-law got it and she would pass them on to me, and I remember opening them up and reading them and thinking sometimes, I'm not sure God knows that's in the Bible. And I know you think it is, but I'm not sure God knows it. And just in that great desire we have to find something. And then people will have a falling out over that. Man alive. Hey, the virgin birth. Yep, we can fall out over that. You bet we can fall out. The blood atonement. Yep, we've got to have agreement on that. All right? Yep. And I could go on and on. But man, there's some things we don't need to worry about. Let's look for something we can find peace. Not only that, that verse says, look for something and work to edify another person. To build them up. To build them up. Boy, did you ever stop and think about what a wonderful thing that is? How much better it is to be a builder than a demolition expert? Encouragement works better than condemnation. Let me say that again. Encouragement works better than condemnation. I'm not talking about encouraging sin. I'm not saying don't take a position against wrongdoing. But I am saying this. The way you do it can sure make a difference. The way you come at it can make a huge difference. Big difference in the way that person reacts to it. We're talking about dealing with Christians that are less mature than you are. The way you go about it, you can try to help somebody. They may be wrong. Nothing wrong with telling them they're wrong, but be sure you don't jump on them with both feet, and after you've kicked them around a little bit, say, I just won't tell you, I'm only saying this because I love you. After you beat them up, it's a little bit difficult to believe you love them. Okay? That's why when I spank my kids, I always told them I love them before I did it. All right? No, I was kidding about that. Listen, you and I seek to edify. Seek to edify. We need to carefully follow after peace. All right? And hey, we're talking in the family. In the family. Let's talk about your physical family. It's a good thing to follow after peace. Good thing to follow after peace. The truth of the matter is, you get in your big family, all the brothers and sisters get together and the whole crowd's there, I guarantee you there's some things you could find fault with. But is it going to do any good? Is it going to do any good? Hey, you know, you might want to think about finding peace. Let me say this. You got lost loved ones. You need to find a point of peace to start from to witness to them. Find a point of peace to start from to witness to them. If you're going to edify them, you're not going to do it after a fight. You're just not going to do it, all right? Let's be careful about it. So do carefully follow after peace. The last thing I want you to see, look at verse 22. The Bible says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth, in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The last thing I want you to see, the last principle, do cultivate faith. Do cultivate faith. We have to live by faith. We have to let faith move and motivate our life. We're to live by faith. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Is sin. And faith ought to do us. There are some things that are without doubt definitely wrong and even evil. The Bible's clear. The Bible's clear. We're to have nothing to do with those things. All right? Nothing to do with them. We're not to go and we're not going to argue those with anybody, because the Bible gives us some definite thou shalt or thou shalt not. And as plain as day, you can try to argue with it as long as you want, but you're arguing with God, not with me. You just can't defend it, all right? But on the other hand, some things are doubtful. Some things are doubtful. I've heard it all my life. It is good. When there's doubt, don't. Just don't. You don't go wrong because you don't do something, even though that something is not wrong to do. You don't do wrong. Let me put it on the child level. Okay, just put it down there. This is my toy. Give me a second. I got to dig it out of my pocket. And unfortunately, there's a lot of junk in my pocket. All right. Great, I don't have what I needed. That'll be it. That is your toy. Okay? That's your toy. That's my toy. There is nothing wrong with saying, it's okay if you play with my toy. That's okay. How many kids do you know that way? No. Mine! Get your filthy hands off of it. So we try to teach them to share. We try to teach them. It's a hard principle for them to grasp. Now, before you come down on the kids too hard, remember this. It's hard for adults to grasp too. Now, on a different plane, maybe, all right? But I'm saying to you, you don't do wrong when you don't do something that is not wrong to do. You're not wrong. It's okay. It's okay not to do it. It's not wrong to do, but it's okay not to do it. All right? Would it be right to do it? Yeah. But it's not wrong if you don't do it. All right? It's not wrong if you don't. We're not talking about something like where the Bible says we're to take the word of God and be a witness and then say, well, I'm not doing that. No, that's wrong. All right? That's wrong. Okay? But here's the problem. A lot of times in these situations, what we do is we let expediency be our guide and expediency make the decision for us. Okay? We do it that way. We look at it and we say, I know that's wrong right there. That is wrong to do. But if I okay that, it'll help me later on. Bob Jones Sr. made the statement, I believe it's him, it's credited to. He said it's never right to do wrong in order to do right. But expediency says, well, if it'll help me get to right quicker and farther, then it's okay to do a little bit of wrong to accomplish a lot of right. No, it's not. It is never wrong for you and I to do wrong. I mean, it's never right for you and I to do wrong. We can't argue from the point of expediency. Some things might be a little easier if we'd be willing to mix in a little wrong. Might be a little easier. But that's not the right way to do things. It's not the right way to do things. In our church, okay, in our church, pretty much we don't allow soundtracks to be played. Well, preacher, what's wrong with them? I didn't say they're all wrong. I don't believe they're all wrong. You say, well, what's the deal? I don't want to get in a judging war. I don't want to get in a judging war. Okay? Some of them, I think, carry stuff way too far. Okay? And that soundtrack sounds like it came out of the nightclub. Okay? But somebody else said, well, this one it's just got a little bit. That's the problem. In our Christian school, we have a rule regarding clothes and about shirts. And we say no emblems, no designs, period. Well, what's wrong with that little dude riding a horse, okay? You know, the polo. Well, nothing's wrong with him as far as I know. I don't know him personally, all right? But as far as I know, nothing's wrong with him. But I don't want to get in a war where, well, how come his is okay but mine isn't? How come that's all right but that isn't? Well, what about this right here? Well, you know what? If we just say, you know what? Let's don't have any of it. And it's okay to take some stands. I don't want expediency to make that decision for me. I want it to be by faith, all right? By faith. If we can't do it by faith or in faith, then don't do it. Don't do it. Just be careful. Just be careful. Faith is to guide us, okay? It's our faith in God. Hey, if our faith is what it ought to be, we're going to be concerned about offending somebody else in the church. We're going to be concerned. I was a youth pastor here for 45, 55, maybe 110 years. I'm not sure. All right, but I was youth pastor for a long time. In that time, I managed to offend some teenagers, okay, that I did not mean to offend. And the one that stands out in my mind, more so than any other ones, I do not remember what I did or said that offended that teenager. I don't remember. I remember the instance. I remember the look that came on that person's face, and I remember what she said. She said, "What'd you do?" "If you can't take the heat, stay out of the kitchen." Well, no. I went and tried to make it right. I wanted to make. Did I think, don't misunderstand, did I think I had done wrong? In one way, no, but in another way, yes. I had done wrong because I had offended that teenager. Now, I didn't think what I did was wrong, but if it offended that teenager, then I did wrong. And I had to go make that thing right, okay? I had to go make that thing right. Look, by faith. Why? Because I want to get along with the family. I want to get along with the family. I want to be able to get along with them. Hey, we're to try to do that in the family of God. It's not always easy. Not always easy to do it. The truth is, you may have to give up some of your rights for the sake of peace in the family. "Well, I ain't never doing that. I got my rights." But it's not wrong for you to give it up for the sake of somebody else. It's not wrong for you to do that. Hey, it's okay for you to give it up. Look back, if you will, at verse 20. Verse 20, and I'm done. Look what Paul said, "For meat destroy not the work of God." He said it's not important enough for you to destroy the work of God over a hamburger patty or a chicken leg or whatever, okay? It's not. It's not right for us to do that. Destroy the work of God over something where there could be peace if we'd try to have that peace, okay? And bring that individual along. Let them grow. The day might come where you can sit down with them and laugh about what almost happened. But not if you don't try to seek peace. Not if you don't try to seek peace. I think we ought to try. We ought to look for peace. We ought to look for peace. We shouldn't just constantly look for something that we can condemn in somebody else. God help us not to live that way. God help us to say, "You know what? I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to do what's right. And I might even give up my right to help somebody else." Paul was saying, "Hey, you know what? If eating meat caused my brother to offend," he said, "I won't eat meat. I won't eat meat." And he said, "What do you think about that?" I agree with him. If it's something like that, I wouldn't do it. Now, I'm glad we don't have anybody here that says it's a problem, all right? If Lester Roloff was still alive and we had him come preach, I wouldn't take him out for pork chops for lunch, okay? Because I know he didn't eat pork. That's fine. He didn't eat shrimp. I love them. I love them. But I don't have to offend somebody over it. We don't have to do that. Heavenly Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, help us know how to get along in the family, get along with the family. And Lord, realize young Christians are not going to see everything the way we do. Lord, they're not going to realize the problems. They're going to be easily hurt, easily offended. But Lord, would you help us as the more mature Christian to realize and to do right and what we should do, even if it means giving up our right to have peace in the family. Lord, help us to seek peace. Help us, Lord, above all, to seek to edify, to build up other people. And Lord, help us that we'd continue to live by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand tonight? We give the invitation. You say, preacher, what's the invitation? The invitation's simple. If you need to spend some time with God at the altar's here. I want you to come, all right? I want you to come. It's not a confession that I've been wrong with brother, all right, to come. No, something you need. If you need it, it's here. Would you come while we sing? Come on.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Hey, let me say this. Let me say this right now. You said, preacher, you know, you preach a message like that. Do you really expect a lot of people at the altar? Not usually. To be honest with you, as I look at you, I don't look at anybody that I'm thinking, I hope you're paying attention. Because you're the one I'm preaching to. But I look at all of you and I say, I hope you're paying attention because I'm preaching to all of you. Because I'd like to preach preventative.
Amen.
Rather than fix it. Because fixing it is a lot more difficult than preventing it. All right? So I want to try to prevent things. You know, I would rather prevent problems from developing Amen. In our church than have a problem that we have to deal with to fix it. Just be so much better. They tell you if you have a vehicle, the smart thing for you to do is preventative maintenance.
Right.
Well, if you want to, you put tonight's sermon in the category of preventative maintenance, would you? And file it away and hang on to it. Don't forget the principles we mentioned, all right? Don't forget them. Man, I'm so glad you're here. Let me remind you, next Sunday morning, Sunday night, both services, Brother Harold Noble will be preaching for us. We're looking forward to having just a real good time in the house of the Lord. So I hope you'll be here, make plans to be with us, and cut out the other stuff, all right?
Amen.
Hey, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer, if we could. Brother Marion, would you dismiss us?
Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord, for this. Again, we've been allowed to meet together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for each one who's turned aside. We thank you, Lord, most of all for the word that's been brought, for the message, Lord, and the word was given. We ask, God, now that you would take it, and as the pastor says, preventive maintenance. Use it, Lord, for maybe for future reference. Help us each one, Lord, as we live day to day, to be, Lord, an individual that is a servant for you and is right with you, wanting to do what's right, to influence others for the right. Bless now as we go our separate way, Lord. Lead, guide, and direct. Bring us back together at the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.